Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, a wild and woolly episode of the Paracast as we explore government information, disinformation, and whatnot with Gary Beckham, with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast. So we're talking about Laura Eisenhower, who's a granddaughter.
Great-granddaughter
of Dwight Eisenhower. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And what does she do? What's her field of expertise?
Well, Laura is primarily a mystic. I would categorize her interests as being in the New Age, spiritual, mental, phenomena. There's people who believe that the mind is the core aspect of reality and tend to pursue more of these New Age ideas because as I'm sure you know from your paranormal research, that's a big part of the paranormal is the mental phenomena.
Okay, and a fast devil's advocate approach here. Her great-grandfather was a famous military figure and the president of the United States, that doesn't make her an expert in anything.
Right. But what she was doing was they were passing in for basically Laura, and then she had a friend who basically posted some of this information online. And I was able to look at the information, and I was able to use the information they posted to go back to the original source, who I knew was actually working towards doing research with nuclear rockets and had mentioned, Mars as being one of the destination points that they wanted to go to. So there was this connection with her friend, Agent X, and Mars research. And some of that research was being conducted by a scientist who was affiliated with the U.S. Air Force. Had done papers in attended conferences and so forth associated with the Air Force Research Laboratory. So there was in the background of all of this, there was maybe a certain amount of serious, research going on. And, of course, the question in my mind is, how did that become the story of bases on Mars, and which then, of course, blossomed into the teleporter that takes you to Mars, and eventually you get to the president being on Mars. So,
and then you have the whole Bisaggio time travel thing, too, which she's kind of attached herself to.
Yes, and so so you've got these characters, and it's like you mentioned before, you get these characters that attach themselves to these stories, and then they just push the stories out farther and farther. But somewhere down in the core, there's some connection there. What I'm interested in is in the core here.
Successful disinformation. Successful disinformation is the truth surrounded by programmed lies.
Exactly, and the other thing that I'm really interested in, when you mentioned politics earlier on, I'm interested in what are the legal aspects involved in U.S. intelligence agencies using disinformation when that disinformation influences or affects U.S. citizens. I think that's really my core political issue is if these people really are doing anything on an official basis at any level, and it's involving citizens and it's affecting the belief values of people throughout the country, then what is the legal basis for that?
Kind of a moot point now that they've passed this new defense authorization bill that has these kind of hidden little gems in there that now have designated the entire country as a battleground, and pretty much the government has carte blanche to do whatever they want to U.S. citizens, suspend habeas corpus, indefinite detention. If you're declared a domestic terrorist, then you're the same as somebody, trying to blow up Marines over in the Middle East.
And it also follows there that you can declare your political opponent a domestic terrorist. You'd be just like that guy who just died in Korea.
No, the entire intelligence community was restructured after 9/11, and over time, some of the programs have come out. You've heard about NSA and the wiretaps and things like that. There's other things I'm more interested in what's in the shadows, what might be in that shadow or what's kind of lurking behind the scenes. Another interesting connection I discovered was that after 9/11, there was a lot of interest in remote viewing and this psychic perception that seemed to be connected to people who were either working in the government or who had worked in the government in the past. And one of the most interesting connections that I came across was there's a psychic named Chris Robinson from England. And he had been trying to warn the U.S. about planes hitting skyscrapers in New York City right before 9/11. And later on, I learned that Chris had actually been come over here and had been working with, or at least had been meeting with people from some of the American intelligence community, and had conducted various tests and experiments for some of these people to try to perceive, like, the location of Saddam Hussein, location of hidden nuclear sites in Iran, things of that sort. And then ultimately what happened was, a few years ago, there's a gentleman who was a senior NSA official named Tom Drake, who was indicted under the Espionage Act because of the whistleblowing that he had done on some of these programs that involved wiretapping, basically, listening in on American communications. And it turned out that when he came out, when they indicted him, in the indictment, they identified him, they identified the NSA, they identified that he'd worked in signals intelligence, his career path, and it turned out this was one of the gentlemen that Chris Robinson had worked with, which I find very interesting, especially because Chris basically, as soon as this happened, where Tom Drake was forced out of the NSA because of all of these accusations that were coming up against him, that was about the same time period where Chris and Tom stopped working together.
You know, one of the things I always wonder when we talk about supposed whistleblowers is, if they're blowing the whistle, what is to stop the government from coming by and say, wait a minute, we're not going to tolerate this, shut up?
Well, that's basically what happened. When Tom Drake came forward, basically, he didn't just come forward. He did this behind the scenes using encrypted email with a reporter from the Baltimore Sun. And the FBI came in, they raided his home, they took all of his computers and all of his personal items from his home. I don't think they've returned them yet, actually. But there were other people at the NSA that were peripherally involved, and they had the same thing happen to them, held at gunpoint while their homes were raided by the FBI. And there were senior people in the Obama administration who pursued this, against him pretty vigorously, but the government really didn't have a strong case for espionage. And ultimately, just a day before, I think it was one day before they were going to go to trial on this, the government dropped all 10 espionage charges and reduced it to a misdemeanor. So they had done all this for several years. They basically made his life total misery for several years, knowing that they really didn't have a case against him, but they brought these charges against him because it basically ruined his life. It ruined his career. It ruined his retirement. And he was eventually forced to go to work for an Apple computer store in Washington.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the Apple computer store, but you have to wonder, too, when you take overt action against somebody, aren't you also drawing attention to what they were saying? Well, wait a minute. This guy's saying thus and so, and now the government is after him? Wait a minute.
Well, here's the thing. There was nothing that he revealed that was classified. So all this, the action they took, and they charged him under the Espionage Act, but he had actually never released any classified information. If there was classified information that was involved, the government didn't want that to become public, and that was one of the reasons why they dropped their case and made it a misdemeanor.
Oh, interesting. And so he was tied in with Robinson then, is what you've determined.
Yeah, what I've determined is, and I went to another source who at the time was working with the Washington Post and asked him to do the same kind of, just background, on Drake, just to see if this relationship actually really existed, And we basically were able to confirm that Robinson wasn't making this up, that he had known Drake, and that at some point in time, apparently they had worked on some of these, paranormal problems. Now, the other side of the story that was interesting was a few years before this happened, another researcher named Gus Russo, I don't know if you're familiar with Gus, but he does a lot of, he writes a lot of books about JFK, the assassination plot, and mobsters and things of that sort. And he was doing a story for Dan Smith. Dan had actually hired him to do a story about Pandolfi and these guys from the intelligence community that were getting involved on the internet, on the UFO subject. And during this research, he went to one of his sources who was an NSA source.
And I'll tell you what, we'll have to learn about the NSA source in a moment with Gary Beckham. You're listening to Gene and Chris because you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. Fake Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fake Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fakemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. Right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for aromatic liquids extracted from a broad range of flowers, stems, seeds, and bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
When Chris gets that voice, and this is a different voice than we normally get from Chris, you know that we're getting into some really dark and dirty stuff. In our previous segment, Gary, you started talking about NSA person.
Yeah, Gus Russo was the investigative journalist.
Okay, so Gus Russo is the investigative journalist who Gary Beckham is involved in contacting this NSA person?
Yeah, he had a source that he used, you know, because he does a lot of research in a lot of different areas and topics, and he had a source with, I guess, a good NSA connection, and we'll just leave it at that. And this source told him, this was back about 2007, this source told him that the NSA had actually taken over the paranormal psychic research program after the CIA killed it back in the 1990s, and so that they were still doing ongoing paranormal research. And of course, if you know,
wow, that's news.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, but at the time, that this is coming from a single source. We don't know. A single source in traditional journalism, a single source is not good enough to run a story. You need at least two sources, hopefully, you know, that are reasonably credible. So we asked Gus, we said, well, is this guy that you're dealing with, is your source, would you consider him credible? And he basically said, yeah, 100%. So we kind of ran the story that there was this rumor that there was a, you know, paranormal program at NSA, and I kind of left it at that back, you know, this is again back 5 years ago or so. And then it turned out again, after all these years went by, that I started communicating with Chris Robinson. I'd heard the story that he'd gone to the CIA about 9/11. Dan Smith had talked about how Ron Pandolfi seemed to know about 9/11 before it actually took place.
Okay, now we're going to stop right there, because now you have been certainly exciting my curiosity through this entire episode. But now, okay, knew about 9/11 before it took place.
I think Robinson, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but Robinson contacted the U.S. government, you know, being, he's English.
Okay, so this is basically the warnings, possibly part of the warnings that the government received.
Well, how long before, Gary, if I remember correctly, it was in 99, I think, wasn't it 99 that he contacted the U.S. government?
Yeah, he claims that he, I don't know if he contacted the U.S. government. What happened was he had an intelligence contact that he worked with, I think from MI5 in the UK, and he
now just to verify here, MI5 is the internal security agency in the UK, and MI6 is the James Bond agency.
That's right. Yep, they're two different agencies. And so his contact would have been MI5 because, you know, usually he's dealing with terrorist incidents within the country, you know, within England. So he started telling them about these dreams that, you know, these hijackers are going to hijack airplanes, they're going to crash them into buildings. That was kind of the initial thing. He didn't have a location or anything, just, you know, dream images of these airplanes crashing and hitting buildings. And over time, you know, they started to get clearer, and he started to sense where it was taking place. It was going to be New York City. And he basically was not satisfied with the response he was getting from his contacts in the UK. So he arranged to come to the United States to work with a researcher named Gary Schwartz, a professor at the University of Arizona. And they did kind of a 10-day, sort of an informal psychic test that they did, you know, with Chris dreaming ahead of time where they were going to go, and then randomly selecting a location and going to it. During that period of time when he was here, which was August of 2001, he still had these dreams, and they were getting more vivid, and he felt that it was New York City that was going to be attacked. So by the time he got back to London, he was really getting concerned at this point. So he contacted the U.S. Embassy, apparently, with wherever the CIA liaison is, in the U.S. Embassy in London. And this is, I don't know, maybe a day before the 9/11 attack. So it was right before the event took place. And what Robinson told me then is, after the World Trade Center was hit, after the two planes hit the Trade Center towers, he received a call from an American colonel who was in the air at the time regarding his warning. So what I believe happened, and I can't confirm this, but what I think happened is he passed the information to the embassy in London. Gary Schwartz may have had some intelligence contacts as well, and maybe some of that information got through channels, just kind of sitting in the inbox somewhere where nobody was really paying attention to it.
Is that the problem, though, with 9/11, that we had these warnings ahead of time, but for whatever reason, they didn't connect the dots? Or do you think it may have been deliberate not to connect the dots? That's, of course, the big overarching conspiracy.
Well, and again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I would say that, you know, based on everything I see, it's more to do with incompetence and possibly with, you know, maybe even a certain amount of cover-up of that incompetence after the fact.
You don't want to say you didn't know what you were doing, so you say, well, we couldn't possibly have known. How could this have happened?
And that's exactly what happened. You know, after the events, I think Condi Rice came out, and she said, you know, we could never have imagined that they would hijack passenger planes and fly them into, you know, buildings. But actually, if you go back to the record, and this is the public record, who knows what's in the classified record, but in the public record, the National Intelligence Council, which is where Ron Pandolfi was, you know, he was affiliated with the National Intelligence Council back at that time. And that's where they write the estimates, the intelligence estimates for the president. At that time of 1999, they were actually talking about the threat of Al-Qaeda hijacking airplanes and flying them into buildings. And at the same time, Richard Clark, who was the White House counterterrorism czar, Richard Clark was also running kind of a desktop simulation of what would we do, how would we respond if a plane was hijacked and was going to fly into the U.S. Capitol building. So all of these things, they were actually talking about these things. They were actually looking at these things at that time.
There were war game simulations going on 9/11 that featured that type of activity.
Well, what's interesting to me, and I think, you know, you've got to ask yourself, why weren't they prepared to launch planes, you know, fully armed planes, get up in the air, you know, to protect Washington? They you know, looked at these scenarios, they discussed them, and actually what's really interesting to me is if you go way back to 1983, when this is back in the era of the men who stare at goats, and Army intelligence sent a bunch of their intelligence officers to the Monroe Institute to train them how to become psychic spies. And while they were there, a group of them had a similar vision of a terror attack using an airplane against the Capitol building. And they described it as being, and I don't know if they, actually I shouldn't say they described it. The intelligence officer that wrote the report, which is in the Stargate files, basically interpreted, I think it was four different intelligence officers with four different similar visions, basically interpreted that it would involve like a Learjet packed with explosives and flown deliberately by a pilot into the Capitol building. And they said that they thought this man would be maybe from the Middle East and would have a name that would sound something like Jerry or, Geraldo or something with that kind of a sound. And it turned out that on 9/11, it was Gerard was the 9/11 pilot, Flight 93, who was attempting to hit either the Capitol or the White House with the plane. So there's some interesting coincidences there. But the important point is the fact that they were looking at these scenarios and that they had considered the possibility of airplanes being used as weapons of mass destruction. But on the day of 9/11, apparently they didn't even have weapons armed on the planes that were used to protect Washington.
I'll tell you what, we have more of this going on with Gary Beckham, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to MySolarBackup.com for more information. That's MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Gary Beckham, and we're looking at information that maybe you haven't heard about, and it's a question whether you want to take it seriously or not, but now we're looking at the prelude to 9/11, how the dots weren't connected. Now, one conspiracy theory has it, Gary, that we let 9/11 happen because it allowed us to do other things such as attack Iraq. That's one theory.
Well, and I think that's a theory. You know, you have to look at the facts. And there is a website called Secrecy Kills where Richard Clark, again, he was the White House counterterrorism czar at the time of 9/11. He has his own personal conspiracy theory, and he talks about it. I find his is probably the most interesting of the theories I've heard. Apparently, the CIA had been tracking Al-Qaeda members who came into the United States about a year or two before. I think it was early in 2000, so it was before, you know, 9/11, about a year and a half before 9/11. And apparently, they didn't inform any of the other agencies. They didn't discuss this with the FBI. They didn't brief Richard Clark on it at the White House, even though they sat in on these meetings, you know, with the White House discussing all of these issues. So Clark says in his mind he's trying to understand why that information was withheld. Why wasn't it told to me? His theory is basically that the CIA was trying to turn these Al-Qaeda terrorists into double agents, and they didn't want the FBI to get involved. They didn't want to get any interference from any other agencies here in the United States.
But isn't it also a conventional wisdom that some of these Al-Qaeda operatives felt that we had betrayed them, and therefore they came back to attack us?
Well, again, I don't try to deal too much with conspiracy theories. I don't delve that deep into them. I think for me, the point is just trying to understand from the point of view of the intelligence community the job that they do. Why would they not have briefed the White House, and who would have given that, you know, that order? And Clark's theory is basically it would have to come from the director of the CIA. And so, you know, basically he just assumes that the CIA was involved in some kind of an operation and they wanted to keep it in-house, and that it was basically then covered up. It was this entire thing was not really discussed in the 9/11 report. So that's Clark's personal conspiracy theory. It's probably the only conspiracy theory that I'll entertain at this point in time without more information. But I did go to Dan and asked him to contact Ron Pandolfi, because Pandolfi was also allegedly, according to his story, he was at CIA headquarters during the 9/11 attacks. And Pandolfi would also have been, you know, associated with certainly the CIA director and other people there. He was at the National Intelligence Council. And he seemed to, the answer that came back was kind of curious to me. He seemed to think that it really was not unusual that they hadn't told anybody or briefed anybody at the FBI, that they really wouldn't. The answer was basically the reason the CIA didn't tell anybody was because they didn't think anybody else would have any interest in it, which I find to be a non-answer. So in any case, obviously, any of these guys that really work in the government, they have security clearances and they simply can't talk about this kind of stuff unless they're told to, you know, for, you know, again, counterintelligence purposes or some other reason.
Let's go back from 9/11 back into our crazy quilt paranormal universe. And, of course, we mentioned before some of the crazy disinformation that's come out there about UFOs, like Project Serpo, that we had an exchange program with aliens. I mean, we had a couple of the Serpo people on the show. We had Bob Collins on briefly, not Rick Doty, but some other people talking about Serpo as if it was something genuine. But I guess the other question to ask here is, does any of this stuff that's going on with the government and disinformation relate to UFOs in a factual fashion?
Well, you know, the only thing I can think of, I think this is sort of the conclusion other people have reached, is that if this disinformation, say, is actually sanctioned by someone in the government, then it's part of a cover-up, possibly to just protect ongoing research projects or, you know, new kinds of aircraft. Or possibly, if you want to believe Kid Green and what he has heard, possibly there's been contact with some kind of an extraterrestrial astronaut. Now, let's just, for the sake of argument, let's just say that really took place.
That's a big argument to accept.
Pardon me?
It's a big argument to accept, but let's go with it.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's just, for the sake of the argument, we'll accept the fact that the government had some kind of contact with an extraterrestrial astronaut of some sort. So the idea is that it was heavily compartmented into the military industrial complex, and that the intelligence community itself was isolated from the information. And that basically led up to back in the 1980s, where apparently Kit Green and Ron Pandolfi confronted a couple of gentlemen from the Air Force, a couple of colonels, Colonel Barry Hennessy and one other gentleman, the name escapes me at the moment, but apparently they were confronted over this whole topic of Rick Doty and the veracity of Rick Doty and what happened to him and his career in the Air Force, and basically a lie detector polygraph tape that had been taken of Rick Doty, where the Air Force was claiming he was lying, and Kit Green, who had worked with polygraphs for the CIA, looked at it and said, well, there's no indication that he lied on this polygraph. So there was a dispute over whether or not Doty was making stories up. Now, that wasn't directly related to the UFO topic. I think it had more to do with his career as an intelligence officer in, I believe, in Germany. So, but there was some heated discussion, apparently, over this whole thing. And depending on who you ask, could get two different stories about this.
Well, let me ask you what your opinion is, Rick Doty. We've mentioned him on the show a couple of times. He said, I'll come on, and of course he chickens out in the last minute. And this is an intelligence operative. Is this just some kind of goofball who imagines himself to have greater authority in the military and the government than he really did?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at the, we have to look back again and where you examine the motives and intentions. And back around, I think, September in 2006, Ron Pandolfi actually started investigating Rick Doty, or at least he claimed he did. And on a personal level, the claims or the rumors were that there was a little more than that. There was an official, supposedly an official involvement by the FBI. But the whole story was, from Pandolfi's point of view, the way he expressed it, and he's the one who released these emails. So everything is originating from Pandolfi, but it's emails between Kit Green and Ron Pandolfi and Rick Doty. And in this email exchange, the focus is not on the UFO topic, but using the UFO topic as a cover story to conduct espionage for a foreign government. And basically, there's some interesting details in there that I'm still kind of, I don't feel like that I have the right to release all that information, but there's some discussion of Rick Doty's career in Germany. There's some discussion of events that took place there. There's some discussion of the Serpo story and Kid Green being contacted by someone who from the Air Force who allegedly said that there was some truth behind the Serpo story.
And all right. Truth behind the Serpo story. What kind of truth do we find behind that thing? Because that thing strikes me as just being as wacky as all get out, as they say.
Well, the story, if you watch, I think it was the 1977 movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, that's where you'll see the Serpo story.
Basically at the end of the film, Richard Dreyfuss and these people go onto the spaceship, and they're going to go to wherever E.T. lives, and they're engaged in some kind of exchange program. Do I assume then that E.T. leaves a few of their own kind here in exchange?
Well, that was part of this rumor. Now, when we talk about this contact with aliens, I don't even want to use the word aliens. Let's just say some otherworldly intelligence. Let's make it a little more ambiguous because it could refer to disembodied spirits of
well, yeah, now we're referring to one assumption which is riding another assumption. Disembodied spirits, how so?
Well, what I'm saying is that the story of what they call the core story was one that Kid Green came up with, Jacques Vallée and Hal Puthoff. And they were,
Jacques Vallée, how so?
Well, apparently they were sitting in a Denny's restaurant back in the mid-1980s and looking at all the information. And apparently, I think it was Lawrence Livermore Laboratory that had provided some new information, but not non-specified. I don't know what it was.
I'll tell you what, we got to specify this. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you
you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Our guest is Gary Beckham, and we're exploring now something which leaves me skeptical as all get out, as I said before, with regard to whether this Project Serpo, the alien exchange program, had any reality. We went into Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which, of course, is just a movie. Or was it just a movie? Were they suggesting things that were really going on? Gary?
Well, the story, the original core story, because it comes in so many different versions now as it's mutated online, but the original core story was apparently that there was some kind of phenomena that it took place under laboratory conditions. And that based on this information that they received from the security director at Lawrence Livermore, they created this idea that there was this ongoing contact or some kind of contact with an otherworld intelligence, something alien, not specified, but some kind of alien intelligence. That's the original core story, the way it was explained to us, was that there was this story, and then there were the rumors, the other rumors they heard, which was the three contacts, which were the 47, 82, I think, or 83, and then sometime in the 1990s. Nothing very specific was really involved in that version of the core story. But then there's the Air Force core story, which is the one that Collins promotes and Rick Doty has been supporting, which is this idea that the Air Force has been involved, directly involved, working with some kind of extraterrestrial entities since, at least since the 1980s. Now, what I thought was interesting was way back when I was a young man, I met a guy who had just gotten out of the Air Force, and we were out having a few beers, and we weren't talking about aliens or anything, and all of a sudden he got very serious, and he said, I got to tell you something. There's some really weird things going on in the Air Force. And I kind of looked at him like, okay, where's this going? And he said, you know what, it's about the UFOs, it's about the aliens, and the Air Force is involved with these aliens. And I thought, well, this is a pretty strange story. You know, I didn't really take it very seriously, but I kind of kept it in the back of my mind. And this was actually before the stories that came out from Bob Collins, I don't think was even looking into this stuff at the time. So we're talking very early 1980s.
Yeah, but why don't we take people like Bob Collins and Rick Doty who come out with this stuff, and Collins had a book out on these subjects. Is he real? Is he the real deal? Or has he been a goofball all along, just kind of playing around with us?
Well, I think the thing about Bob Collins' book, from reading it, it's good entertainment. There's a lot of big speculation in it. There's certainly a lot of big personalities in there. Some of them are known to be intelligence people, and Kit Green, again, is probably the better-known one just because he's worked on Stargate projects and had a fairly senior position at the CIA at one time, and still consults to the DIA and other agencies.
Yeah, but you see, if the CIA is involved in reality, why do they let this stuff come out? I mean, let me ask you a question. You've got a lot of information here that you're publishing on your site, and you're delivering on radio shows, stuff that may relate to top secret interactions involving ET visitations, UFOs, remote viewing, even 9/11 or any of these other incidents or tragedies. Has anyone come to you and said, Gary, shut up?
Well, Ron Sandolfi did originally.
Well,
a couple of times, Ron actually requested, he wanted us to remove certain pieces of information from stories right before we would publish them. And generally it related to what he was doing, you know, officially at the time, you know, his, the location he was working from, things like that. If you read Pandolfi's version of things, just from the emails and things that we've received from him, he looks at this primarily as a game, a kind of an intelligence game, sometimes provides information on people that are involved in things that would actually be of interest to the government, like those researchers working with Chinese counterparts on that high-frequency gravity wave research. So there's this sort of somewhat serious side to this that, you know, involves topics, you know, that might be of interest. Just if you read enough intelligence reports, you know, and I've got these 90,000 pages of Stargate. I've got all the stuff that was being discussed back, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Every weird topic you can imagine that appeared in a Soviet, you know, magazine somewhere, it was clipped, analyzed, notated. The Air Force's Foreign Technology Division had their own magazine where they would report on these things.
The question about the Soviets, was it just Cold War paranoia that any wacky thing they were doing, we had to figure it out because maybe they had a handle on something real?
Well, to a certain extent, yeah. They I mean, even after Stargate was ended by the CIA, if you go back and actually read through some of the documentation, the letters that were being exchanged, it's pretty clear that they were discontinuing operational remote viewing, which was where they would train intelligence officers to sit down and record their thoughts and make it all classified and issue reports. That part of the program went away. But that didn't end the monitoring of foreign scientists. It didn't end the monitoring of paranormal topics. That was ongoing. So they've always been looking at this. They've always been looking at what the Chinese are doing, what the Russians are doing, the Brazilians, the Mexicans. I mean, if you go into the physics archives, which is what we did earlier, way back when, and you look at all of the research, you'll find that there are papers here on all kinds of far out ideas in physics from all over the world, and they are definitely monitoring that kind of research. I've even found personal letters that were addressed to a friend of the family back in the 70s from a Russian researcher in the CIA files.
Okay, now, this is interesting here. When this stuff comes out, don't you think at that point it has been discounted pretty much?
I'm sorry, I just lost the connection there for just a moment.
All right, okay. So when stuff comes out here that you can actually look up and research and read, don't you think at that point that the government no longer takes it seriously, otherwise they wouldn't release it?
Well, then that's another, you go back to the politics behind all this. There was a lot of political maneuvering going on, and a lot of these programs, the DIA did not want to put these programs out in the public, and that was part of the reason that they transferred them over to the CIA. They had requested, after the Cold War ended, they requested that the researchers here working on paranormal topics, they wanted them to cooperate with their Soviet counterparts. And the DIA had resisted doing that, so there was some political maneuvering going on that basically took that program away from the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the military version of the CIA, and moved it to the CIA. Now, the CIA at that point, they didn't want to have anything to do with it, so they basically hired the Red Skeptics to kill the program and just ended it. But the story is, of course, that it was picked up by the NSA, or the NSA already had a program and it's kept on going.
Wow. What can I say? I don't know whether to believe any of this stuff, but the other question I have here is, do we think that maybe a portion of this information that people like you who look into so-called hidden top secret information, et cetera, you're just being goofed with? They're giving you a lot of nonsense, so you'll run off with it and say something, or maybe in turn they'll get whatever information you really have.
Well, Well, I think that, you know, if you do enough research where you actually, you know, look through thousands of pages of government documents, which is what I've been able to do since they released them back in 2004, you get a pretty good picture from that many documents of what was going on and how the programs were run and who loved the programs and who hated them and the political fighting, you know, over the money that was involved and so forth. And I think that I have a little bit different perspective because before I did this research, I was doing my own research into the physics, into the research that was going on still in the 1990s in topics, you know, paranormal topics, what is consciousness, how is consciousness produced in the brain. It's called the heart problem because it's a problem for philosophers because scientists can't explain what consciousness is. And then you've got these topics that kind of blend the two areas together. Do we live in a multiverse? Are there parallel universes? Is there a different version of me doing something different right now? And is there any chance that our minds are connected on some level where I can get information from my alternative self in a different universe that I might not be able to access here in the universe I'm in? So, you know, you can take this out as far as you want to, but from a more practical point of view for the government, at the very least, they're going to be interested in how can we use this to do intelligence? And that means how can we take this information and use it to predict things that might happen that we hadn't thought of using our regular models, or how can we use this as counterintelligence, as a tool to gain access into other groups of people that we have interest in? And the thing that I realized from reading the Stargate files, I was rather naive when I first got into this field.
And I'll ask you to explain what was naive about that. With Gary Beckham joining us, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.